it's I've really felt the Holy Spirit. It was something different, you know, and my heart has changed. It's like I don't have a stone of heart, heart of stone anymore, you know, just like when I do good and be better. That's all. And I thank God for everything He's done for me.
Yeah. Thanks, Riaz. Yeah, just have an amazing sense. God's sent you to us as a church because you're going to be a blessing to us. And I think we're going to learn from you. I mean, you grew up in a Muslim home and have found Christ as an adult in the later years of your life, yeah?
Yes, that's true. I was born a Muslim. It's about 7 years back. I learned about Christ. That's when I first learned about the Holy Spirit. But I think because of my bad choices and stuff, it led me back on the streets and yes.
Yeah, you'll fit in here perfectly because we've all made bad choices and have tasted God's grace. You know, that's what we are about. So I really mean that. I think you'll be a blessing to our church and we're glad that the Lord's timing is amazing. I've been praying for somebody to share a Thanksgiving testimony and he came to me last week and said, I need to say something. I said, amazing. Thank you. I want to just ask one question. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for is that, you know, most grateful to God. He answered my prayers that He sent me to this family. And, you know, they are Christians and they love Jesus. And I love them a lot because I learn a lot from them. Because they do things like even today. They just told me, Riaz, it's about you. It's not about them. They don't want to do things for people and show, you know, to get all the glory. They're such wonderful people and most grateful to be in their life.
Yeah, yes. Awesome. Let me pray for you and give thanks for what God has done. Lord, we thank you for a heart that has just been transformed by your love and your grace. And we just can't help but sense that you have amazing plans for Riaz's life, that you're going to use his story in a powerful way to be a witness to many people. I pray that you help him to stand firm and to continue to grow in you and to be nourished with your word and become that his foundation of faith will be so firm, Lord God, that nothing would rock him, and then that you would use his story to be a blessing to many, that many would come to faith because of this man's testimony. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Angus, I'm going to ask you to come and share. This is a testimony of a slightly different type, talking about God's provision and blessing to us as a church through this year. This has been the busiest man in the church campus, I think, over the last year. But we want to just celebrate what God has done in providing for us through this year. Thanks, man.
Good morning. You know, listening to all the Thanksgiving testimonies, you think about that song, What a Mighty God We Serve. The angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And what's His name? His name is Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. We are so blessed and so thankful to God for all that He's done, not only in our lives over here, but in our lives and our body as a church. And looking back at this year, we're in November. I'm sorry, man. I'm a bit behind time. We're in December, and looking back, there's been many challenges this year. Many, many challenges. Not only from our personal lives, but challenges with regards to our campus, to our building. I'm going to ask Janine just to put something on the screen there. In July, we came before the church with a list of urgent maintenance that was required. And coming now, as at the end of November, going into December, we had achieved certain things that we had set out to do. We had an issue with the coffee corner, and there was a quota of 42,000. The homework center gutters, 12,000. Asbestos gutters over the Lambsfold, 26. And then stormwater drainage in front of the hall, 35. Roof repairs at Mpumalelo's room, the caretaker's room, 65,000. and then also an aircon replacement in the church. So we had about 200,000 rand worth of expenses that we looked at that were going to come up. God was really, really good. And what we had done, we had put the coffee corner awning on hold, but the homework center gutters came in at just over 11,000. The asbestos on the landfill room, we negotiated there, we came in at just over 25. And then the stormwater drainage was just over 2,711 rand budgeted for. And then the roof repairs came in at like really 34,916 rand under initially quoted, because we did not have to do a major repair there. And then the aircon also negotiated, came in at just over 15,000 rand. So if you take Leicester Coffee Corner awning, we had to come up with about 158,000 rand. But we had a savings over there of about 40,004 rand. What we had discussed and at the executive level, we had a bit of an issue with Duncan and Bronwyn's bathroom. So we made a decision to try and sort that bathroom out. It was a bit of a major one. We uncovered a lot of problems there. It happened over a very long period of time. Bronwyn and Duncan were very patient. They were only using one toilet, but fortunately it didn't jam up. But no, actually we did have a blockage there too, but it wasn't as a result of them. But yeah, so we ended up doing the man's bathroom and then also the toilet renovation. And we took out this old cast iron board. We had to cut this board in four. We had to do some major work on the actual flooring to try and make a walk-in shower. And then we fitted a glass screen over there from Shower House, that panel. So we were to date then about 166,963 rand. Okay. But prior to that, in July, we had to sort out the stormwater problem at the manse where we spent just over 11,000. And then the church manse sewer line. Now, that was in July, so it wasn't as a result of the renovation. So maybe it was because of other blockages, but we discovered that there was a problem there. So that was just over 16,000. And then we also sorted out the coffee corner jungle gym. That was at about 13,000. So we paid out just over 208,000 rand. Now, at our last QGM, the one before that, it was agreed that we'd use some of the money from the Kumbi Fund. Now, obviously, this came in at slightly more than what was available in the fund, and we had to take some of those costs and defer them to the normal church maintenance budget. But we are in a bit of a hole. It's not a big one. I can't see the lights inside that hole, but yeah, we are in a hole. So yeah, but you know what? Be that as it may, these projects have been completed. Be that as it may, we only got one outstanding, that's the church awning. I mean, the coffee corner awning. So we really can be thankful to God for all that He's done. I know, and I'm not being a prophet, I cannot tell the future, but our building is old and there are going to be other stuff that needs to be repaired. But I want to ask you as the church to continue praying for God's provision over us here. Continue to pray for God's provision financially so that we can cover some of these maintenance costs. There's still so much to do. We were really blessed and somebody had given 60,000 rand towards a maintenance fund. If God is speaking to you, please listen to Him. Listen to Him. It is not for the benefit of an individual. It's for the benefit of this campus. It's a place where we come to. It's a place where we worship. It's a place where we meet each other. And I don't want you to come to church with a helmet on and the ceiling falls in your head. So yeah, we're very thankful to the Lord. From the executive, we're extremely thankful. God has really worked and God has provided. And what more can I say? We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And His name is Jesus. Thanks a lot.
Amen. Angus, can you give... Do you mind just giving a prayer of thanksgiving for God's provision through this year? Thank you.
Let us pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we come to You humble today, but also boldly to Your throne of grace. Lord, we are so thankful for the God that You are, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We're so thankful for all that You do for us, dear God. Who are we at the end of the day? but people that you love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your provision. Oh Lord, let us never forget all that you do for us. Let us never forget what you've done on the cross of Calvary through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God that we serve, a faithful God, a trustworthy God, an honest God, a loving God. Lord, we're so thankful to you today. Words cannot even express our gratitude towards you, dear God. And we commit each and every one to you here today. We commit our buildings to you. Dear Lord, please, God, guide us as an executive to make the right decisions in all that you've entrusted to us. But once again, dear Lord, let us always be mindful that we do it for you and for nobody else. It's for your glory. It's for your honor. It's for your praise. It's your name at stake. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your provisions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, man. Amen. We're going to just take a little bit of time to look at God's word, and I promise I won't take too long this morning. But what if I could offer you something today that will guarantee an improvement in your mental, your emotional, and even your physical well-being? And it's available immediately, and it's free. Anybody interested? 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Okay, everyone else is doing well. That's good. Good to know. We've been told for many, many years, like, well, I grew up being told, laughter is the best medicine. And although laughter has some value, in fact, it turns out that the best medicine is gratitude. There's been a Harvard study that was done not so long ago that actually discovered that gratitude and having an attitude of gratitude is extremely beneficial to your health. And what one professor did is he divided his class, and the one part of the class had to write down every single day all of their gripes, everything that irritated them. The traffic, the noise, it was in the States, I think, but whatever. And all the things in their lives that they were miserable about. And they wrote that out for 10 weeks, every single day. And the other group were tasked with writing out every single day all the things that they were grateful for 10 weeks. Do you want to guess which group at the end of those 10 weeks was happier and was actually physically healthier? They like literally had like infinitely less doctor's visits and everything else going on. The group that chose to focus on what they were grateful for. And with respect to Harvard, this is not a new discovery at all. The scriptures have been teaching us about this since the beginning. I think, Vernon, I got a bit of a boom, hey? It's good for emphasis, but yeah, okay, thanks. But you know, with respect to Harvard, the Bible's told us since the beginning, hundreds of places in the scriptures, it tells us this, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. Do all things with thanksgiving, with gratitude in your hearts. Are you living with an attitude of gratitude? That's my question this morning. Are you grateful, or do you tend to sort of focus on the negative and fixate on everything that's going wrong? As God's children, we ought to be the most grateful people on the planet. But it's not just about feeling grateful. We ought to feel grateful, but we're called to actually do something with that gratitude and to express it in thanksgiving. Tim Keller says it this way, gratitude is what you feel, but thanksgiving is what you do. So there is this discipline of thanksgiving where I deliberately make it a habit of mine to give thanks to God every single day. We need to practice this out. Now, I want to just look at three different ways of making sure that we are practicing thanksgiving. Firstly, that we give thanks for what God has done in our lives. This is probably the simplest way and the easiest way to practice it.
We'll call it Psalm 136 theology. If you know Psalm 136, it starts off like this. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. We sang it just now. But it carries on and on and on. If you know that psalm, and there's a few others like it, where there's a line, a statement made, and then the response is, his love endures forever. In Psalm 136, 26 times over, we sing out, his love endures forever. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. But what it is that the people of God used to make it a practice from time to time, or whenever they sang those songs and they meditated on the Lord, to remind themselves of everything that God has done. So if you read Psalm 136, for example, it goes all the way back to the way that God delivered them out of the hands of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his riders were washed away, and all these things. And give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. Something we ought to be doing regularly as Christians. And it keeps that gratitude flowing in our hearts. I love what C.S. Lewis says about gratitude and about this practice of thanksgiving. He says, gratitude exclaims very properly, how good of God to give me this. When last did you look at something and think to yourself, how good of God to give me this? Husbands, when last did you look at your wife and say, how good of God to give me this? Or whatever it might be. And when you start getting into that zone, gratitude starts to flowing out of you into thanksgiving. It starts to snowball. It's wonderful. So I started preparing this a couple of days ago. I started journaling, things that I'm grateful for. Number one. Number two. I'm still going. I haven't finished yet. It's getting quite long. It's gone a couple of pages now of the things that I'm grateful for. And I'm starting to get really specific about things now, you know. So last night I was giving thanks. I was really grateful for the cocoa bean, you know, that God has created this thing that translates and becomes chocolate. And I'm grateful that God has entrusted me with a wife who can make the most incredible chocolate brownies on the planet. I'm also grateful that God has created people smart enough to find insulin that gives me the opportunity to eat these brownies without dying, okay? I'm also grateful that I can get that insulin across the road at Dis-Chem. And this is how it snowballs, and Thanksgiving becomes more Thanksgiving, and your eyes start being open to all the tiny and enormous blessings of God, all that God has done. And let us make it a discipline, a daily practice of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for my house. But, you know, there's always a consolation as well. Because even if you don't have that thing which you long for, you know, for example, we want to say, thank you, Lord, for my health. But even if I'm not healthy, Lord, thank you that you have put people in my life who care for me in my sickness. Lord, thank you for my wealth. Or if I don't have any wealth, thank you, Lord, that you provide for me even though I don't have a cent. Lord, thank you for my friends. Or if I'm the loneliest person on the planet, Lord, thank you that you are the only friend that I'll ever need. Or thank you, Lord, for my home. And if I don't have a home, Lord, thank you that you are preparing a home for me in glory. There is always something that you can be thankful for every single moment of the day. I want to say to you, this festive season, walk around and practice an attitude of gratitude. Perhaps you as a family need to set up some time, and don't wait till Christmas Day. Do it soon. Do it now. Do it today if you can. But you sit around a table and you say, what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? And give thanks to the Lord for all that he's doing. Give thanks for what he's done. Second thing we need to understand is that thanksgiving is not just about a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's actually a weapon of warfare. And I'll run through these things quite quickly, but it's fascinating to find out that the Bible actually says to us, give thanks to deal with some of the spiritual problems that you're facing, the spiritual illnesses, if you like worry. We're concerned about our country, about maybe about our health, maybe about our finances. We are concerned about these things, and we tend to get anxious. But Scripture reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In your prayers, in our anxious prayers, sometimes we get straight to the supplication. Supplication is the shopping list. Lord, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and do this, and fix this, and da, 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 da. That's the supplication part. But it must always be partnered with thanksgiving. Because when we do it with thanksgiving, the Lord opens our eyes to what He has already provided, what we already have in abundance. And He gives us then great peace. We start remembering, you know, the Lord has never let me down. The Lord has always been my provider. And we receive then the gift of His peace. The second thing, when you're facing adversity, when you're facing hardship, spiritual attack maybe even, give thanks to God. We have this incredible story in 2 Chronicles about a king, King Jehoshaphat. And he's leading his people. Why are you laughing at that name? You might meet him in heaven one day and he's going to say, I know you giggled at my name, Jeeva. King Jehoshaphat, and he leads his people out into battle, but God lays on his heart, you're going to do this very differently. And you're going to, instead of putting the warriors in the front, you're going to put the choir in the front. And this is what happens when Jehoshaphat sends the singers in the front. He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy attire, and they went before the army, and they say, give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir and those who had come against Judah, and they were routed. So they won the battle by giving thanks to the Lord, and the Lord just decided to sort the battle out on their behalf. It's an amazing story. And I'm not saying simply by giving thanks to God that He's going to destroy all your enemies. Don't go name and claim that exactly. What I am saying, though, is that when you put the Lord first and you give thanks first, you recognize you already have the victory in Jesus. And He helps us to face whatever adversity is in our way. Pride. Last week we spoke about pride and the call for us to humble ourselves. How does thanksgiving counteract the spiritual sickness of pride? We remember this passage, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And when we focus on grace and when we understand that all that we have in Christ is undeserved, it's not ours by right, we become humble. And then it tells us in 2 Corinthians, as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. One of the secular commentators, the Harvard article that I read, speaking about gratitude, says that gratitude is, in its essence, spiritual, and its prerequisite is humility. Fascinating, coming from a secular university. It is, in its essence, spiritual, and its prerequisite is humility. In other words, we cannot be genuinely grateful for what we have in our lives and proud at the same time. When we focus on thanksgiving, it keeps us in that place of humility. Not beaten down humility, oh, woe is me, what a terrible human. But the kind of grateful, life-giving humility that God wants us to live with. Understanding how blessed we really, really are. Doubt, another one. When we give thanks, we remind ourselves of all that God has done. It dissolves doubts and fear in our lives. Abraham is an example given to us, where Abraham, there was no unbelief that made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God. Abraham is the father of our faith, giving glory to God in thanksgiving constantly. And it helped him to grow in faith. And what about bitterness? Bitterness starts to build up sometimes in us as Christians when we believe we're entitled to something better, or when we spend too much time on Facebook looking at how much stuff everyone else has and all the fun that everyone else in the world's having. We feel a longing in our hearts. We believe we deserve more. But when we focus on thanksgiving and we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed we were called in one body, and being thankful, like Colossians says, that joy remains fervent and fresh in our lives. And then lastly, and this is interesting, thanksgiving as a way of dealing with temptation. Isn't that interesting? And Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5 in a passage that is where he's really talking particularly about sexual sin, but the lusts of the flesh. And he says to the Christians, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Don't get sucked into dark things, but rather spend your time and your effort and your focus giving thanks to God. And when you do that, you won't want to sin when you remember how good God has been to you. It destroys even temptation in our lives. But my last point is this, that we need to be giving thanks for what is yet to come. And I want to take you to what I think is probably the most surprising and probably the greatest act of thanksgiving in all of the Bible. Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem. It's the night before Jesus' death. And at that Last Supper, they share a meal. And you've heard this read before, and we're going to share that meal a little bit later as well. But this is what the scriptures teach. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Isn't it fascinating? Did you catch it there? He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. What was Jesus giving thanks for hours before the torment and the torture of the cross would begin? What was Jesus thankful for in that moment? And yes, there is an element in which this was part of the tradition and the ritual where you would give thanks for the fruit of the vine, and that was part of what you would do when you would share around a Passover meal. But it's more than that. Jesus is thankful. Jesus is giving thanks to God. Did he do so genuinely? Did Jesus have an attitude of gratitude even in that moment? Our perfect example, Christ, I believe he was grateful in that moment. And his thanksgiving even then was real. I don't think he was giving thanks for the pain that was about to come his way, the trauma that was around the corner. I don't think that's what he was giving thanks for. I think his gaze was a bit further down the line. Remember Hebrews 12, we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, this obstacle in the way, which was the cross, he endured that because he knew what was coming afterwards. Folks, if thanking God for all that you have is not enough to stir your spirit and stir your soul, remember this one thing: there is joy set before you. And I know for many, this is a difficult time of year, and you go through sorrow and you go through hardship. Perhaps there will be empty places at your Christmas table this year that weren't there before. Perhaps there are other things that you are struggling through and burdens that you are carrying that you've never had to carry before. And you find it hard to be cheerful about these things. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks for what lies ahead in glory. Christian, if we've learned anything from our studies through this year in Hebrews and 1 Peter, it's that our hardship matters, that there is meaning in our suffering, and that God meets us in that place and accomplishes in us transformation that pleases God. We've learned that about suffering. We ought to stand firm and seek God's face. But we've also learned that our suffering is temporary. And gives way to indescribable glory. Either when our race ends or when Jesus appears. The joy set before us. And on that note, I want to ask those who are serving at the table, Andrew and Kyle, if you can join me. And as we come to the table today to express our gratitude to God, we remember Jesus' sacrifice And we marvel at his great love for us with hearts overflowing in thanksgiving. I want to say, if you're visiting with us, this is not a table that's just set aside for only members of this church, but for anyone who knows and loves Jesus. If that's your story and your song, that you love him and you trust him with your life, and you want to come today and join us and share this meal in gratitude, you're more than welcome. If you're not there yet, you're not convinced of this Jesus thing, then rather let the elements pass you by. No one will judge you or look at you funny or anything like that. You just pass it on to the next person. But if you trust Jesus, do so today and join us in this meal.